This is Hades Ham Journal number 3. Hades Ham Journal is a diary of a former techno yuppie who falls upon interesting times. Laid off and evicted, the streets are her only remaining option. She is adopted by a community of illegal squatters, the home for aging mutants, Ham for short, deep in the crumbling warehouse district of a city that knows how but has forgotten why. This episode is called Crashing Daryl's Party. Daryl Filani is a scumbag, certainly, but he sure knows how to throw a good party. It's funny what you can come up with from the pockets of your other pants. Other pants take away, to be sure. They can be merciless about letting you finally get to the front of a very long line, only to realize you left your wallet or your license or your whatever in your other pants. At times like that, you can imagine your other pants lying where you left them, laughing at you. But they can also give you all kinds of surprise gifts, too. Things you stuck in there a long time ago and then forgot all about. The invitation, for instance. Mr. Daryl Filani, or Felony as he hates to be called, must not have been keeping up with current events very well. I'm sure he only sent me this invitation because he thought I was still in a position to do him favors. I used to be, back when I was still designing nukes for Rock Hard Munitions, Inc. His company, Ignited Combustibles, was in competition for some of our biggest subcontracts. He used to brown nose shamelessly every chance he got. He even went so far as to feign a romantic interest in me for months. We finally did connect and had a torrid affair for what must have been all of 4 hours. He then said he had to leave early because he had a power breakfast scheduled in the morning. He tried to collect all the change that had fallen out of his pockets in the course of events and came up 50 cents short. So he started crawling around under the bed and under the dresser, and then he asked me if I would move the mattress so he can see if it got in between there and the bed frame somehow. For God's sake, I thought, this weenie buys a new BMW every 6 months, and he wants me to get up and move a goddamn mattress at 3:30 in the morning so he can look for 50 cents? Don't worry about it, I said, as breezily as I could manage. I'll find it later. You can get it next time we go out. The man froze in his tracks. Next time, he said. Next time! Then he started babbling hysterically about how he wasn't ready for a commitment. Jesus, Murphy, all I was talking about was another date. I rolled out of bed, found 50 cents of my own to give him, and steered him out the door so I wouldn't have to listen to it anymore. I shut the door after him, and then turned around and leaned on it, reading the handwriting on the wall. That was strange, I thought later. He really seemed to be having a good time. Maybe guys can fake orgasms, too. The whole deal left a bad taste in my mouth in more ways than one. Anyway, he must have forgotten about the whole thing in pretty short order, because he continued to ask me for business favors every time he saw me. And at least he kept me on the party invitation list. Daryl uses other people all the time, but that is one use they all have for him. His parties rival the last days of the Roman Empire. Bubble bath in the swimming pool. 3 on-site sushi chefs, no waiting. Celebrities paid to just wander around and look famous. Different live bands playing in opposite corners of the house. And the sugar bowls were always full. But not of sugar, if you get my drift. I'm sure he only has the party so he can be surrounded by people telling him how wonderful he is. And the kind of leeches that they mostly attract are only too happy to do just that. It works out really well. If he'd been aware that when I got the invitation, I had lost my clearance, been terminated at work, and was about to be evicted from my apartment, I doubt he would have sent it. But, oh well, he did send it. And I couldn't just not go. Besides, my new friends would add a lot to the party that otherwise wouldn't have been there. So, down to business. I brought Biff and Athena, the street performers, and their 4-year-old daughter, Bastille. Declan, the drunk writer, was an absolute must. He was so urbane when he wasn't throwing up. I brought Lars, the hunky kid from Minnesota, in the hopes of inspiring him to make a pass at me. Mary Lou and Peggy Sue, the doo-wop girls in search of someone to back up, knew a guy named Weaselface who had a car, so that was 3 more. And I figured we could fit in Rodan, the unattached 8-year-old urchin. At the very least, he might be able to steal something. We went down to the self-service car wash before it got light, and Damien hot-wired the coin box so we could all take showers. Then it was all over the Goodwill drop box for some interesting clothes, and we couldn't show up without something to contribute, so we washed out a soda bottle and filled it with the moonshine from the still I'd build. The stuff has had sort of mixed reviews, from awful to even worse so far, but it keeps disappearing anyway. Weaselface's car runs like it was held together with baling wire. Somehow he made it across the bridge and up the hill. Weaselface didn't want to go in because he had a phobia of rooms with all the walls still there, so we left him outside. We were fashionably late, so everyone was pretty loaded already. I'm in business for myself now, I told the ones who knew me. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Lars headed upstairs with his camera, sure that he'd get a few that people would pay a lot of money for, just to get the negatives back at least. Within half an hour, Mary Lou and Peggy Sue said they'd found people to go home with and they'd be back in a couple of days. Declan was opening cupboard doors wherever he found them, looking for the liquor cabinet. I poured the moonshine into the punch bowl and I figured a lot of people would be leaving early. The kids were going for the appetizers and the desserts until their mouths, their stomachs, and all their pockets were full. So I started at the white end of the wine tasting table and worked my way down to the reds, dutifully taking bites of cheese in between and commenting about this one being young and arrogant with a pimply nose and that one having bacon and Teflon overtones and a hint of Ban roll on. It seemed like centuries since I'd had anything decent to eat or drink, and I was completely buzzed on the reality to begin with. I almost went upstairs to see how Lars was doing and see if we could make a little scene of our own. But then two of the musicians got sick. Oh, I do hope it wasn't from the punch. So Declan and I stepped in on piano and bass to do an extended improvised serenade in the abstract style. Most of the guests were so overcome by it that they had to leave the room to be alone with their new redefinition of art. They must have told Daryl how good we were because he came wandering in not long after. He was wearing more gold than Mark Spitz, a matching lamprey skin vest and boots, and some anorexic model with clown makeup on his arm. Bastille and Rodan, with true street urchin style, ran up to him yelling, "Daddy! Daddy!" The model gave him a look that would freeze gasoline and walked out. That was fine. She didn't look like a fun person anyway. He tore loose of the kids and went after her. I'm not even sure he saw me. Maybe he never had in the first place. Later, we found one of the hot tubs and had a good long soak. Declan was very drunk and had gotten to be the center of attention playing the piano. Lars had done a wonderful photo essay on the social activities of a number of public officials. Mary Lou and Peggy Sue were waiting for their boyfriends to get out of the bathroom. Biff and Athena had won a weekend trip to Mexico in a raffle. The kids were stuffed with food and sleepy. Bastille woke up every now and then to say how yucky rich people food is. And I was savoring the sweetness of an opportunity well used. It would have been perfect if Weaselface had been around to drive us back like he was supposed to be, but nobody could find him or the car when we came out. We did get a ride in the morning in somebody's truck bed. Something always comes along. Daryl might not ask me to another party, but he might not have anyway. But the same thing could happen to him someday, I suppose. I wonder if he will adapt as well as I did. Next time, working for Weaselface, we'll be there, unless they find out.